Chapter 33, The Prophet and the Skeptics. Ezekiel was constantly met with objections from those who put no faith in his visions and his prophecies. Naturally, the people felt that there had been a great many prophets who had spoken about the future, and many of the things they had said had not come to pass. Of course, they did not take into account that many of the promises which the prophets had made were conditioned upon the good conduct of the people. When the people had failed to respond, the good promises had failed to come true. It seemed to many that they had been waiting for many generations for the glorious things of which Isaiah had spoken, and these blessings had not come. They forgot that Isaiah had always said that the good time would only come if the people turned first to Jehovah. Ezekiel was very anxious that a wrong impression should not prevail. Nothing is so dangerous as skepticism regarding the influence of God in the world. If the people had come to the point that they did not believe in what the prophets had to say, there was no way of reaching them with truth. Ezekiel, in his writings, tells the message that came to him upon this subject. "Son of man, what is this proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand in the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more false vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am Jehovah. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed. It shall be no more deferred, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I speak the word and will perform it." But there was another objection that the skeptics brought, and that was that the prophets were always talking about times that were far off. It was a very easy matter to say what should come to pass in a faraway day. A prophet might live and die and always declare that his promises still related to the future. Therefore, many of the people were disregarding prophecy altogether, by simply saying that it referred to such a far-off future that it was not worth considering. Ezekiel told them that the stern forecast that he was making related to the very near future, so near indeed that everyone might well tremble at the terrible events which should take place. Again, he tells how this message came to him. "Again the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, There shall none of my words be deferred any more, but the word which I shall speak shall be performed." One reason that the people did not believe in Ezekiel was that there were so many preachers of another kind in Babylon. Just as we noted, there were the popular preachers in Jerusalem who spoke the exact opposite from the words of Jeremiah. So in Babylon, there was the same contrast. There were men who were continually saying that they had received a message from Jehovah that the exile was almost over and that the people should speedily return. These prophets who told the people what they wanted to hear were naturally held in higher esteem than Ezekiel. Why should they believe one man who spoke harshly when there were many learned and eloquent men who spoke pleasantly? Just as Jeremiah had not hesitate to call these preachers false prophets, so Ezekiel spoke the same words. "And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own heart, Hear ye the word of Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They have seen falsehood and lying divination that say, Jehovah saith. But Jehovah hath not sent them, and they have made men to hope that the word would be confirmed. Have ye not seen a false vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? In that ye say, Jehovah saith, albeit I have not spoken?" He was so anxious that the people should see that the false prophets could not be believed that he gave them a very striking illustration. He wanted to tell them that the prophets were only saying what they knew the people had already thought themselves. It was the popular opinion that, of course, they would soon go back to Jerusalem, and the preachers who wanted to please them simply told them what they had already thought. So Ezekiel said to them that it was as if the people had built up a tottering wall, and the false prophets had come and carefully whitewashed it. The whitewash could not make the wall any stronger, and the wall which represented the people's foolish ideas would inevitably fall when the terrible events of the future came to pass. The figure goes to the heart of the truth. The foolish reasons of false counselors is but the daubing of the tottering wall. But there were not only men who were preaching falsely. There were also women who were leading the people astray. They were clairvoyants and fortune tellers. They used all kinds of tricks of divination. They led the people who were righteous into evil, and they led evil people to suppose that their crimes should not be punished. Their whole purpose in their evil practices was to gain the pitiful price that was paid for such service. Ezekiel was commanded to utter a woe against the false prophetesses. Set thy face against the daughters of thy people that prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Woe to the women that have profaned me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hearken unto lies. Because with lies ye have grieved the heart of the righteous, whom I have not made sad, and strengtheneth the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his evil way and be saved alive, therefore ye shall no more see false visions, nor divine divinations, and I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. There were some prophets who had actually gone so far as to speak in the name of the false gods. The people had set up idols, and certain of the preachers had undertaken to deliver messages in the name of these idols. Ezekiel had only a very severe word to speak against both the people and the idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Return ye, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that separateth himself from me, and taketh his idols into his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, Jehovah, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and I will make him an astonishment, for a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah, and they shall bear their iniquity. The iniquity of the prophet shall be even as the iniquity of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord Jehovah. It was about this time that a terrible sadness fell upon the prophet, as his wife became severely ill and reached the point of death. He knew that he was to lose her, who had been so near to him that he called her the desire of his eyes, but like Jeremiah, he could not indulge in personal grief. Everything that happened to him must be turned to the account of his people. Sadly, he realized how he was commanded to refrain from all mourning when his wife died. Also the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet thou shalt neither mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind thy head tire upon thee, and put thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. Naturally, the people were very much surprised at this action. Grief over such a loss would naturally be expected of any man. Ezekiel explained to them the meaning of his act. Just as he had been silent, so would they be unable to mourn when they heard of the fall of Jerusalem. The grief would be so astonishing that they would be stricken into silence. Then I said unto them, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, speak unto the house of Israel, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters, whom ye have left behind, shall fall by the sword. And ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men, and your tires shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. Ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away in your iniquities, and moan one toward another. Thus shall Ezekiel be unto you a sign, according to all that he hath done shall ye do. When this cometh, then shall ye know that I am the Lord Jehovah.